Get up here now! You got work to do!
What's the matter with him?
Prophet indicated the man passed out on the floor behind Dyson's chair.
Oh, he'll be all right. You just weren't ready for Curly's turnip twist is all.
What the hell's a turnip twist?
Curly, get up now, damn you!
Dyson prodded the bear with his gnarled hickory cane.
You got work to do! Come on!
The bear's head lolled, and it swiped at the cane with a heavy paw.
Come on, Curly, rise and shine!
Again, Dyson prodded the beast. Prophet watched skeptically as the animal yawned and stretched and slowly gained its feet. It ambled over to Dyson and regarded Prophet dully. It was a big bear, but Prophet had seen bigger. Prophet weighed about 220 in his birthday suit, and all his horse riding and owl hoot chasing had chiseled every pound a hard muscle. The bear weighed probably double that, but Curly had big jowls and flabby shoulders and hips, and he moved awkwardly, swaying on his back hips as though his bones were stove up from lying too long on the cold saloon floor. Also, he had a sizable paunch. Glancing at the floor where the bear had been lying, Prophet saw a pie tin of what looked like beer.
Curly ain't only fat and stove up, he's drunk to boot.
Dyson gave the bear's rear a swat with the cane.
Don't just stand there, Curly. Have at it! And keep your claws in, and for God's sakes, leave the poor man's nose alone.
Nose?
Prophet crouched as he moved toward the bear, feeling like an idiot, not quite sure what to do with his hands.
And leave off with the turnip twist!
Prophet looked at the mountain man, who reclined in his chair like a lord, his boots crossed on the table on which his money, beer glass, and notebook lay.
What the hell's a turnip twist?
Dyson's brows furrowed. He scribbled something in his notebook. Whatever a turnip twist was, it was too late for Prophet to back out now. The bear had closed on him, the animal's eyes dark and dumb, but deep with feral purpose. He smelled of beer and the wild, musky, sweet smell of bear.
Go! Move! I know you can do it! See, he's not a very big bear at all. He's been drinking all afternoon.
Prophet moved in. His best strategy would be to act quickly and take the bear by surprise. As the beast rose up on its hind legs, Prophet ducked under its flailing paws, pivoted around behind it, and jumped onto its back, crooking his arms around its neck. Prophet tightened his hold on its neck and dug his boots into Curly's gut. The beast lost its balance, stumbled heavily, and fell to the ground. Gaining confidence, Prophet scrambled onto his heels and dove onto the bear's shaggy belly, pinning one hairy leg with both his knees while holding the other down with his arms. Suddenly, Prophet was airborne, flying head over heels.
Get that son of a bitch, Curly! Get that son of a bitch!
Prophet turned to see the shaggy beast awkwardly gain its feet, head swinging, its eyes as dark and dumb as before, but with a vague glitter deep in the pupils, like a small flame at the bottom of a well. Prophet gained his feet, staggering, red flares flashing behind his eyes. The bear approached. Prophet raised his fists, intending to smack the bear, but the idea somehow seemed ludicrous. Who in the hell ever heard of punching a bear? The hesitation was a mistake. As Prophet tried to skip around the brute, the bear turned quickly, lunging and bowling into Prophet. Prophet went down, the back of his head slamming the puncheons. Sucking back the pain, he scrambled to his haunches. The bear got down on all fours and rammed Prophet with his shoulder. Flat on his back once again, his head feeling like a smashed pumpkin, Prophet again found himself staring at the rafters.
Forgive!
Forgive!
The bear rested its forearms on Prophet's chest, forcing the air from his lungs. Prophet struggled against the enormous weight, desperately kicking his legs. The beast's toothy mouth opened and then closed over Prophet's nose. By instinct and reflex more than cunning, he brought his right boot up hard into the animal's crotch. The bear opened its mouth, releasing Prophet's nose. Curly sank to his butt, stubby back legs straight out before him, and dropped his paws to his injured groin. With a more hurt, indignant look than Prophet had seen on the face of man or beast, the bear wagged its head from side to side as if asking, why? Prophet scrambled back on his butt and glanced around. The crowd regarded the bear sadly. Several incriminating looks were directed at Prophet.
He kicked him in the balls!
Jesus, what an awful thing to do!
Well, what in the hell did you expect me to do? The damn brute tried biting my nose off.
He grabbed the appendage in question and his fingers came away stained with blood. Not a lot, but enough to know his kick had been justified.
Oh, Lou! How could you?
What?
I'm sorry, Mr. Dyson. I never should have suggested an uncouth brute like that wrestle poor Curly.
With that, Tilly lifted her skirts, wheeled, pushed through the crowd, and marched haughtily up the stairs at the back of the room. The other girls gave Prophet angry glares and followed Tilly's lead. Dyson hunkered down to get a look at the brute's crotch.
You okay, Curly?
The bear only glowered, then pushed the man away and climbed to all fours. Wobbling like an off-balance gypsy cart, it ambled back to its place in the corner and lay down, staring balefully at a knot in the worn puncheons. Prophet looked around the room in exasperation, unable to believe all of the nasty looks directed at him.
What in the hell did you expect me to do?
I know what you can do, mister. You can get the hell out of here right now.
Yeah. You're not welcome in the slap and tickle anymore, Prophet.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute now.
Four men came forward. Two took his arms and two took his legs. Deaf to his objections, they carried him like a battering ram across the room and through the bat wings. It had been raining, and the mud was a foot deep, laced with a healthy dose of horse dung. Prophet lifted his face from the mud and dung, spitting the foul ooze from his mouth, blinking. A pair of ladies' cloth boots and the hem of a heavy wool skirt held above the mud appeared before him. To the right was a pair of men's ankle-high calfskin shoes below the hemmed cuffs of pin-striped trousers. A black frock brushed the man's knees.
Well, that was a very attractive display.
Yes, very attractive. Very attractive indeed, Countess. Are you sure he is the one we are looking for?
No, but bring him anyway.